Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. The day of resurrection is here. This has been a hard Lent for us, reflecting on conflict and its consequence in a variety of ways. And now we can finally focus on the end of the story and the new beginning that it is. We can set aside any gloom we have or heavy hearts, whether we're thinking about our own lives or our parish or our nation. We can set aside our reasonable concerns and focus instead on our reasonable and holy hope. That hope, any reasonable hope that we have as Christian people, is founded in what we celebrate this day, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Before I go on, I should recognize and name that belief in the resurrection is not a matter of giving intellectual assent to any particular picture of what happened on that first Easter day. There are Christians who insist that unless we see things their way and understand things their way, then we're not in the club. And that is a failure to understand that what we are celebrating today is absolutely unnatural, and therefore not in any way accessible to our usual and natural ways of reasoning. We might find analogies to resurrection in nature, butterflies emerging from cocoons, or addicts hitting bottom and finding new life through a higher power, but even those things are analogies, and they are natural. We know with certainty that every single one of us is going to die. Even Lazarus, who was brought back from the dead, was resuscitated and was going to die again. Jesus' resurrection is different, and it's not covered by those who insist that we imagine a dead man walking. That said, I have at times in my life found that imagining resurrection in that way is helpful. I don't see anything wrong with it. But most of the time, I don't have a specific picture in my mind of what it was like in those first days of Easter. Here's what we know from the various resurrection appearance stories. The disciples, for the most part, did not immediately recognize their risen Lord. Whatever the reality of his physicality, this was no resuscitation. They recognized him in characteristic acts, like walking on the water or breaking bread. But more than that, they recognized him in his voice. They worship him when he greets them. Mary, according to John, thought he was the gardener until he did something by which she knew his voice. He called her by name, Mary. Matthew will tell us that when he appeared to many and they worshipped him, even so some doubted. Thomas, the scientist, invited to place his hands into the wounds of Jesus, does not do so. He recognizes Jesus perhaps in his risen authenticity. And so it must be for us. Near the ending of John's Gospel, Jesus says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Our reasonable and holy hope means that we are never stuck. However dire our circumstances might seem, there is always another possibility. In God's economy, there is always abundance, even when our experience tells us that scarcity and anxiety and despair rule the day. In fact, some psychoanalysts would say that at the root of all anxiety is the issue of death. And so when St. Paul says, "Where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting?" he's celebrating the demise of the power of death as our ultimate horizon. It is love that is for eternity, not death. And when we see it in a healing, or in the power of forgiveness, or in some act of grace, then we know the foundation of our reasonable and holy hope. When we hear and recognize Jesus' voice calling us to some otherwise unimaginable future, then we know resurrection as the foundation of our reasonable and holy hope. Today we are invited anew to share in nothing less than life, eternal life, abundant life, life. Even as the one of absolute integrity walked among us, sharing our life, experiencing our death, and demonstrating that death is neither the worst thing in life nor the last word in life. So we are invited into that very newness of life as creations of the grace of God, made by that same love for love, of infinite value because of that love. We mark this change, this newness in baptism, in our own baptisms, dying with Christ, we say, that we might be raised with him, emerging from the waters as living signs of a new possibility. We'll renew the promises of our baptism in a few moments. Think for just a moment about tumultuous change that we've seen, where previously unimaginable possibilities come into being and are life-giving. I mean, there are technical things like, who would have thought we would be carrying around small computers that we can carry in our pockets? But in the same way, groups of someones, decided that life as a person that we now know as gay, for example, did not have to be considered criminal, did not have to be considered perverted. It took time for a majority to recognize that there is nothing to fear by people being able to love whomever it is that they are given to love. And then in the end, that love is more life-giving, more truthful than all the condemnation, all the imprisonment, all the degradation imposed in ages past. Love is stronger than death, and we know it as surely as we know Jesus' resurrection. When we tell and enact our faith, as we do today and every time we gather around this table of the Lord, we affirm the possibility of new life for everyone. Everyone, by coming to the table with everyone. That includes people of whom we think the worst, or coming with those we might deplore, or imagine they might actually think the worst of us. They might actually deplore us, and still we go together, everyone, towards the Lord's table, seeking God's transforming, life-giving grace, seeking the abundant life that is offered to everyone, knowing that in the end, there is no salvation for me unless there is also salvation for you. There is no abundance for me or for you unless there is abundance for everyone. Perhaps you've never really given yourself over to the hope that is founded in resurrection. Perhaps you're among those who've hung around the edges, maybe calling yourself spiritual, not religious. Perhaps you're struggling with the venom and vitriol that is all around us and reflected back to us in the news, and you're heartily sick of it, and you're wondering, could there be another possibility? Perhaps, in spite of all the joy proclaimed this day, you are hurting in some profound way. If you're among those who've never said yes, yes to God, yes to hope, yes to abundant life, then know that you too, even you, are invited to the Lord's table to come forward, hand outstretched, reaching, saying yes, looking for life. Say yes when you come with hope being born in you and join that great throng of angels, living and dead, who know a new possibility, new life. Allow the Holy Spirit to open your heart to that possibility in the assurance that love is stronger than death. Come forward and begin to know the riches of the good news that we proclaim this day. And then be sure to tell someone that you have accepted the invitation of grace and gave yourself over to God this Easter. The resurrection is the story that is the source of our hope. And it's why we proclaim with confidence, and why we proclaim with joy. Alleluia. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.